Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
It was an interesting afternoon for me, to say the least. Is this okay? Is everybody okay? I don't really have a whole lot to teach or to preach tonight. I'm really just going to talk with you, and I hope that's okay. And I want to talk about something that's very near and dear to my heart. While I was actually praying this afternoon and getting ready for the service, God kind of took me on like a little field trip, if I can start this way. And I actually saw myself getting saved again, which was really cool, and seeing our first encounter at the altar at a Tim Story conference several years back. And it wasn't long after that I saw myself getting baptized in the Holy Spirit and learning, you know, getting my prayer language and you just, what is this and what do I sound? I don't know what's going on and what is the sound coming out of my mouth? And I had no idea whether tongues or no tongues. I had no idea what was going on, but it was happening. Amen. And I remember in the beginning, and I haven't been saved that long. I'm really a very young Christian. But I remember right in the beginning, my pastor always tried to instill into me the importance of prayer. And I remember, you know, it was a bit of a struggle in the beginning, and I'm very passionate about prayer, and the youth would know, I'm like about every third sermon that I preach to them is something to do with intercession or something to do with prayer or warfare, or, you know, you got all these issues in your lives, go pray, and, you know, and that, you know, but pastor always instilled that into my life, is to pray. You know, he never had to beat me over the head with a Bible to get me to stop doing things that were contrary to the word of God. He just taught me how to pray. And I'll forever be grateful for that. And it was one of those things in the beginning of my walk, and still is, where as I would begin to pray and as I would begin to press in and as I would begin to do these things, I was really learning to be led by the Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide my life rather than my emotions and my flesh. And I feel like oftentimes we get that very confused, where we begin to try to make decisions based off of what we want, and we confuse what we want with the voice of God, and we confuse the voice of our emotions with the voice of the Holy Spirit. And if we would just pray, amen. And so God showed me this little transition here. And even earlier this week, as I was preparing, and even the week before, he was really dealing with me and some of my own issues in my own heart. Amen. And I heard one thing in a prayer meeting, and he said, "Are you too good to be broken for me now?" Can I just talk with you guys tonight? Is that okay? And I feel like when it comes to dealing with brokenness, it has a negative connotation. And we want to place brokenness, and I think it's true. If I was to call my dad right now after I leave the service and say, "Hey, Pops," that's what I call my dad. He's in my phone as Pops. I say, "Hey, Pops, I'm driving and my truck broke. My truck's broken." It would put off the connotation that my truck is dysfunctional. My truck no longer works. My truck is no longer functioning the way that it normally should. It's not functioning. It's dysfunctional. And I just praise God that he uses dysfunctional people, because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that. But this isn't the brokenness that I want to... I'm not talking about dysfunction. I'm talking about a different kind of brokenness. And we'll get into that in just a minute. Why does prayer tie into that? Why did I say that in the beginning about prayer? Well, I said it because of this. Prayer changed my life, and it still is on a daily basis, day to day, every single day. It's changing my life. It's teaching me to be closer with God. It's teaching me to walk hand in hand with God. And I feel like oftentimes as Christians, we have this mindset of once we get the big sin out of our life, we're okay. Right? And we're no longer sinning. So we got this almost this complacency that sets in that I'm okay. I'm good, God. But then there's character building, and we can't rush the process, and character building hurts. Can I just be real? But there's a process to being broken. There's a process to being developed. And I'm going to get into that tonight, too. I got a couple of awesome points, I think. I think they're awesome. They might be terrible. I don't know. But being broken before God and just laying it out there open for Him is right up there in the books with me with prayer. And some of my most powerful moments with me and God, it's got nothing to do with a man. No one laid hands on me. No major prophecy was given, although I'm so thankful for every time I've received a prophecy. I'm so thankful for every time I've been imparted into. But some of the most incredible times I've had with God has just been me and Him, where I just get broken and I lay it on the altar and say, God, I'm a mess, but I'm here. Here I am, God. And there's an aroma inside us all. And I want to speak to you guys tonight off the topic of broken vessels. There is an aroma. There is an aroma. There's an aroma inside of you. There's an aroma inside of me. There's people that I can reach that you won't be able to, but in the same breath, there's people that you're going to be able to reach that I won't be able to. And there's an aroma. There's a greatness. There's a purpose. There's a destiny inside of you that needs to come out. God uses vessels. Amen? Are we all not vessels? We need to get broken. Brokenness is not a negative thing. It is not something to be afraid of. It is not something to be embarrassed of. I've said it before and I'll say it again. This is like, it's like Planet Fitness, baby. It's a judgment-free zone. Listen, we even provide complimentary napkins to wipe your snotty face when you get the ugly cries. It's on the house. And when you look up brokenness in the dictionary, it has many definitions, and a lot of them deal with dysfunctional and brokenness and not working correctly and all these different things. But the one definition that I love the most says this: to be subdued totally. And the second part of it is the one that hits hard, is in a humble manner. It's really easy when we're caught up in hectic sin to be broken. Can I just be real? In the beginning of my walk, it seemed like every time there was a prayer meeting, every time there was a worship service, every time there was an altar call, if I had an opportunity to come down and break before God, I would, because I had stuff in my life. I had junk in my life I was trying to get out. Amen. But naturally, as Christians, when we get to this place where we feel like, am I right, God? I'm doing okay. We see a process of being broken before Him happen less and less and less. And now the thought comes into that. Can I just be real? The thought comes into the mind, well, if I break in front of the altar, in front of all these people, they're going to think I have sin in my life. They're going to think I have an issue. They're going to think I have a problem. Well, I shouldn't worry about my reputation in any event. And if we would all get broken before God, we wouldn't have to worry about who was looking at us in any event, because we'd all be in the same place on our knees. In a humble manner, it's so easy that pride can set in a second. And it's quiet. Pride will tell you everything's okay when it's not. This is the kind of brokenness I'm talking about tonight. I want to be totally submissive to my Father. I want to be to that place to where I'm broken before Him. I want to be to that place to where He is and has full ownership and possession of me here on this earth, right here and right now. And I want to get back to the place where I realize it's no longer about my eloquency of speech or how well I can pray, which I obviously don't. I mess that up all the time. It doesn't matter how great I can sing, which I obviously can't do that either. It's no longer about me, but it's about Him. And He who is within me is greater than he who is within the world. And I need to start giving credit where credit is due. It's all about Him. It'll always be about Him. It was never about us to begin with. But God will use a vessel. We got to get to the place where we take our own selfish pride and our own reputation and we lay it down at His feet and let Him take over. And I don't want anybody to leave here tonight thinking or worried about or being embarrassed about being broken before God. And the only reason why I said that, I deal a lot with the youth. And I'm very observant. And I watch how they praise and I watch how they worship because I have a special interest in the youth because I want to see them step into what God has called them to be and to, I love them and I want to see them fulfill the purpose and the destiny and the plans that God has for them, and that's where God has me at this moment, and I have a special interest in them, so I watch them, not with judgmental eyes, but I watch them. I watch them when they're here. I watch them when they serve. I watch them when they're at weddings. The praise music comes on in the church and we get a little. But at the wedding, why is it that we can get more wild about the things of this world, but whenever it comes to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we can't get a little crazy for Him? We can lose our reputation for Snoop Dogg, but we can't lose our reputation for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We need to be able to lay it down. I'll look silly for God. I don't want to look silly for anything else. I don't care how bad I sing. I don't care how bad I dance. I don't care how bad I clap off beat. I'll do it all day long for Him. For Him. And when it comes to being broken, I'll do it for Him. And I need to get back to where I do it for Him and I don't care who's looking. There is a release that takes place when you break, where you no longer have to push. You no longer have to work at it. You no longer have to, there's a break that happens. Why? Because it's no longer you doing it. There's something that shifts when you break for Him because it's no longer me doing the work, but rather it's Him through me. Because He begins to flow out of me. The anointing will naturally begin to flow. Because it's in that place where you break that you're rubbing shoulders with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's in that place that He'll begin to speak to you. It's in that place that you'll begin to have His thoughts for people. You'll begin to have His eyes for people. You'll begin to feel in your heart the way He feels about people, and it's beautiful. And you don't have to try and think about what God is saying about the individual. It just naturally happens. And it comes out of this place of intimacy, but we got to get to where we can just break. The resting place for God's presence is in a broken heart. And I wrote this, unless we can learn to get to that place to where we are completely yielded to God and completely broken before Him. Listen, we're not limiting God, but we're limiting ourselves with Him. Because God's going to move with or without me. And we've got to get to that place to where we realize that we're nobody special and we're nothing. He's going to do it with or without me, but I would much rather be a part of what He is doing. So why don't I just break and let Him flow out of me? I want an aroma. I want a perfume to come up and raise out of me, out of this place, out of the youth, out of this church. I want the aroma to be lifted up because there's greatness. There's an aroma inside all of us. In this very short time that I have been a Christian, and in the even shorter time that I've been a youth pastor, and the even shorter time I've been ministering to the precious youth in this house, I've seen us grow. I have. I was reminiscing on our first youth camp. I was looking at some pictures the other day, and I was amazed to see how many of the original, you know, they all joke, they call themselves the, you know, the OGs. They've been here from the first youth camp. You hear them. And I watch, and I'm looking in these videos and these snapshots, and I'm seeing how God, nobody, if you guys can remember that Saturday night, nobody had to lay hands on anybody. God came in and wrecked us all during worship. And I'm watching how God touched these precious kids and how they got broken before Him, and how I'm still seeing the fruit of it today, as many of them are leaders here. But they had to. But here's the thing tonight, and this is what God was bringing me back to, is don't forget about it. Get back to that place. Because there's more. There's another dimension. We can get closer to Him. We can go further. The supernatural can begin to flow even more than it already may be. But we've got to stay in that place of being humble and broken to Him. Increase naturally happens when we break. Now please, I do want to say this. Increase is not the motive. Intimacy and love with our Father is. And as we get close to Him, and as we learn to humble ourselves before Him, and as we begin to get to that place to where we realize it's Him and Him alone and nobody else doing it, increase is a natural product of intimacy. Increase is a natural product of intimacy. Increase in everything, our blessings, our provision, our protection, our anointing, our gifting. We serve a supernatural God. And if I get very close to Him, by nature, I've got to begin to flow in the supernatural as well. It's a natural product, not the motive of. Amen? So in other words, we don't decide to get broken, and this is the thing that I love about God, because He sees the heart anyways. And if you go before Him with that in your heart and that is your motive, you're going to struggle to break anyways, because there's a little bit of pride in there, because your motive is for the other things, not for Him. Amen. I hope I communicated that correctly. He's going to see it anyway. So if you go to Him with an impure motive in your heart, you're not going to get to that place of truly breaking anyways. So you got to lay it down and realize it's about, God, I love You. All the other stuff will come. Matthew 6:33, seek ye the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. That means you already have some. He's going to take you into surplus. But it's not the things that I'm concerned about. It's not the things that's my motive. It's not the anointing that is my motive. It's my intimacy. And out of that place of intimacy with Him, it's out of that place of being broken with Him that I will naturally be on the increase. It's a natural product of it. Amen. Brokenness is a process. And don't rush the process. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't rush the process. I can't rush the process. I'm a fisherman by nature. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. You could shout me down on that one. And against popular belief, I do catch one every once in a while. And I have a tendency to, I love eating fish, which is why I switched from that freshwater fishing stuff and moved over to where the fish tastes better. And not that I'm against trout or nothing. It's a heavy debate in the office. I'm all about me some trout. But I like to eat fish. I promise I'm going somewhere. And occasionally I'll eat one whole. It's a little difficult in my household because my lovely wife is a true Southern, born and bred woman, and she's a CBF kind of woman. Nobody shouted me down, so you don't see. You ask my daddy about it. CBF stands for catch, batter, and fry. So we'll hack the fillets off, cube it up, put it in a nice batter, put it in the hot oil, as her dad would say, give them the cold steel and the hot grease, son. Right? But occasionally I like to eat one whole. I don't know if it's the head or the eyeballs. I'm not sure what gets her on, but I like them whole. Right? I get me a pompano and do the cross cuts and the thyme and the butter and the, might have to drop this mic and go eat dinner. Right? Or snapper, whole snapper, done Cuban style. It's talking my language. But see, there's a process. There's a process. Because I can't just take a fish and throw it in some tinfoil and put it on the coals and hope it comes out tasty, because I'm going to be heavily disappointed when I open up the tinfoil and I have a smell coming out of there that's not very pleasant because I skipped a few things in the process. Is anybody with me? Because when I catch the fish, I need to gut the fish and I need to get the stinking contents inside of the fish out of the fish. It speaks of deliverance. I got to get those stinking things, those dirty things, those things that shouldn't be in there. I got to get them out. I got to get them out. I got to cut it. I got to cut it out. I got to get it out of there. And then once he's clean, we got to take it a step further. Because this is when Chef Mike comes in and I get the cross cuts, you know, so you get the perfect bite size when you take it off the bone. And anybody who's eaten whole fish knows what I'm talking about. Get the seasonings and the limes and the lemons and just get it all right. And then you fold it up in the foil packet. But then after it's gutted, you've got to put it on the fire. And I like raw fish, but I really enjoy cooked fish. So something that wasn't usable before has to get put in the fire before it gets to be usable. It's got to undergo a little bit of heat. It's got to get in the purification process and let the fire heat it up and cook it and get it at the right temperature to where something that is unusable becomes usable. It's just like we got to get gutted and we got to get cleaned, and then we got to get in the fire of God and let the purification process take place to where we can get clean and get to the place to where we can be used by Him. But then what did Jesus do? Jesus would take the bread and He would break the bread. And then He broke the fish. And just a few fish and just a few loaves turned into a miracle. And in that place of breaking, there was a multiplication that took place. In that place of breaking, there was a miracle that took place. See, we've got to get to the place to where we can break and allow the supernatural to flow in our lives. I'm ready to break and see miracles take place. I'm ready to break and see the supernatural flow in my life, but I got to get to where I'm clean. I got to get to where I'm in the fire of God. And then I need to be able to just say, John, by the time they're done today, they're going to know all about fishing. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. God wants us to get to that breaking place, to the point to where we are broken, because it's in that place that true intimacy is there. Isaiah 57:15. Isaiah 57:15. Okay, I have a different translation. That's okay. For thus says the high and the lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and the holy place with him who has a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Now, there's a big difference between a wounded heart and a broken heart. A broken heart, and I wrote this, is a heart that yields itself and surrenders itself to God to be broken. A broken heart has no deceit in the heart. It's the true definition of humble. I have no deceit in my heart. A wounded heart is a heart that has been hurt. You've been hurt by people, and I've said this before, but hurt people hurt people. Or rather, it could be said, hurt people, comma, hurt people. Relationships, your job, maybe a previous pastor, maybe a boss, your church, not this church. Praise the Lord. Maybe your spouse, a fiance, an ex-boyfriend. You've been hurt by somebody and you're still carrying that hurt. That's a wounded heart. A wounded heart will always breed after its own kind. If you've been hurt in a church and then you try to stand in a place and minister out of a place of hurt, you're only going to breed what you are carrying. An orange tree isn't going to produce a pineapple. It is what it is. So we can't minister out of a place of hurt, because you're going to breed after your own kind. Wounded people can be extremely dangerous people. And let me explain it like this. Back when we lived in Okeechobee, we hog hunted all the time, and we did things the real redneck way. We would catch them live with little dogs, and it was a lot of fun. We had, I don't know how many, we had 5 or 6 dogs at one point. Had a great big old kennel, and we would turn these dogs loose, and they were very well trained, and they would run out and they would catch a pig. They'd hold it down by their ear, and then my precious wife back there that everyone thinks is so dainty and cute would run in with a big old dagger knife and sacrificial lamb style on the hog and throw it on her back like a real Okeechobee redneck and walk it on out of the woods. I love you, baby. That's why I put a ring on it, y'all. Is there a man in here that'll give me a shout me down on that one? Anyways, we were hog hunting one night, and the dogs are really well trained in a sense that if they would run into a pack of hogs, you know, 4 or 5 dogs would stay together and they would work together as a team, often like you see in nature when lions or wolves or anything would track down a prey and take a prey down. Our dogs were trained in a very similar fashion. Well, one night, I don't know what the heck happened, but we ran into a pack of hogs. There was, I don't know, 5 or 6 hogs, and we had 4 dogs on the ground, and literally each dog went with their own separate pig. And it was mass chaos. We had a pig squealing over here and a pig squealing over there and a dog barking over here and one of it. You remember this night, baby? And we managed to get this one taken care of, and we throw the hog up on the dike and we run down the hill and we get that one taken care of, and we run over. But see, there was one dog on one pig, and unfortunately, we protected the dogs. We took really good care. We had Kevlar cut vest and Kevlar cut collars and the whole bit and GPS tracking, so we knew where they were. And you know, but it's, if anybody's ever hunted in here, you know everything doesn't always go as planned in the woods. You just kind of have to roll with the punches sometimes. It's not always perfect. Well, the one dog had tried to catch a very large pig on his own and managed to get his cut collar cut off. There was a little leather strap, and the pig got his cutter in between it, and the collar came off. And he got cut pretty bad. He wasn't dying or bleeding out or nothing, but he had a pretty, I mean, he was, okay, I'm not going to get too graphic about it. We're in church. I get plastered up here. But he got cut. And I remember it was Spot, remember? Austin's dog. And so my wife, being the loving, caring, nurturing woman that she is, we've got a backpack that we would keep, you know, all this different thing, sedative and all this other stuff that you'd put in the if you got a dog that was cut open, and you would treat them right there on the spot so that you'd get it clean, you would numb it so the dog wouldn't be in pain, and we have this whole process, and you either staple or suture it right there in the woods, and then they're good to go. But we would give the stuff to the dog so that they wouldn't feel any pain. And my wife was trying to help the dog, but the dog was hurt. The dog was wounded, and it's a very nice dog. The dog's never bit anybody a day in its life. I've seen the dog since he was like this big. He's a little puppy. We started training him. And my wife goes in, very loving, nurturing, kind, caring woman that she is, goes in and tries to grab a hold of Spot, and Spot's limping like this, and he's limping, and he doesn't want her to touch him. And he's limping, and he's limping, and he's limping, and we're trying, because, listen, dog, if you just come here for 2 seconds, we'll give you something. You won't feel anything. You'll be all right. Give me 5 minutes. We'll get you sutured up. Is everybody okay? Do we not hog hunt in Vero? I'm getting a lot of really like, okay, amen. Maybe I should have said it was a friend of mine, and maybe y'all would not like me so much. I promise the dog lived. He was good. He loved to hog hunt. In any event, my wife tried to grab the dog. Now, the dog didn't bite her, but he snapped at her pretty good and waddled his way off. Isn't that just like people who are hurt? You bring them to church, or you bring them to the house, and you try to love on them. You try to, listen, I got something that you need. I got something that's going to get rid of the pain. I got something that's going to heal that wound. I'm not just going to cover it up. I'm not just going to slap a Band-Aid on it. I got the real fix. And they turn around and bite you. Not because they hate you, but because they're hurt. Right? And little did we know, little Spot just needed a few minutes. And it wasn't a few minutes later. He came out and waddled his way to my wife. And she got him all fixed up and all dolled up. And I just think it's so prophetic, because that's very much how a lot of times people are. They're wounded, and they're coming against you, and they're snapping at you, and they're biting against you, and they're hurt, they're upset, they got pain inside of them. We'll give them a little space and just continue to love on them. Eventually they'll turn, and you can begin to minister to them. Is this okay? We're just talking tonight. Wounded hearts need to be nurtured back to health. But understand that when you're hurt, sometimes you will also hurt in the process of being healed. Amen? Jesus wants to come in and heal our wounds. He wants to heal our wounded hearts, and there is a place where we can come before Him broken, and it's in that place that true healing comes in, and the wounded heart becomes the broken heart in a real quick second. Wow, I don't know where the time is going. Okay. Let me just, I'm jumping some scriptures here. Is everybody okay? Yes. Amen. Can we go to Matthew 26, verse 6? Matthew 26, verse 6. This story is actually accounted in 3, I believe, of the 4 Gospels. Don't hold me to that. I don't know that as fact. It's just going off memory. It says, now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment, or a pint of nard, or a very costly perfume. And she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you will always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in the memory of her. The anointing comes at a high price. It's very costly. There's a pressing that takes place for the anointing to happen. And in this story, I believe it's in John, I think John 12, when it's a recount of this story. And it talks about how when she broke the flask open, there was a fragrance, there was an aroma that just filled the room. And everybody takes note of it. But see, just like with a bottle of anointing oil, just like with a flask of perfume, you have to break the bottle in order for the scent to come out. I did an illustration one time in the youth, and I took a bottle, you guys remember? I took a bottle of cologne and I smashed it with a hammer, and then all of us were like high because it was just like, it was just too much. Do you remember? I love illustrations with the youth. We do fun stuff. But it speaks of the same thing. We need to get to the place where we can break and allow the aroma that was inside of us long before we were formed in our mother's wombs to begin to come out, because God has predestined you and ordained you to do certain things in the kingdom of God. And you may be a thumb and I may be a pinky toe, and we may look a little different. We may sound a little different. We may pray a little different. We may worship a little different, but we're still part of the body and we got a function to do. But we got to let the aroma come out of us, but we got to get to the place to where we break. I got one more point and then I'm going to close. Is everybody okay? It says that when she broke the flask, there was an aroma, a fragrance that filled the room. And it was at that point that those that were in the room noticed, because they smelled the aroma. Can I give you a little story about our first youth camp? We were at this youth camp. There was about 25 of us, I believe, 25, 26 of us. And there was a piano and I believe a cajon. I stand a correction. And they were busy worshiping. And I remember the song like it was yesterday. It was Yahweh. Yep. And we had gone through a whole set of worship. And it was nice. But there wasn't an anointing in the atmosphere yet. It was just worship. Is this okay? And I'm standing there, and my wife is busy going for it on the piano, and all these kids are busy worshiping, but we're just kind of just going through the motions of worshiping. And I won't, for sake of calling the young man out, but there was a young man standing next to me that's still here today. And I remember it like it was yesterday. There was a moment in worship where he decided, I can't anymore. And he lifted his hands and he hit his knees, and a sound came out of him that shattered the atmosphere in that whole room as we were singing this song. And the minute that sound came out of this young man, I lost it. I mean, I'm telling you, every ounce of water in my nasal ducts and my eye ducts, I was flowing the ugly cry. And then it was contagious. Every young person next to me and around him, and then the war that would get caught with it, it was just like a fire that spread amongst the whole room. It didn't take but 5 minutes and everybody was on the ground. Everybody was broken and everybody was weeping, just loving on him. But it took one person to say, I'm done just worshiping. I'm done just singing a nice song. I'm done just entertaining. I'm done just being a part of the flow. I'm done just going with the motions. I need you, God. I can't do this anymore. I gotta just... And when he let loose, it changed. The whole atmosphere got shattered. And then God began to move. And I'll never forget it. It was absolutely amazing. But there's a place of breaking that we need to get to. And if we can stay in a consistent place of just giving him all the glory, giving him all the praise, and breaking in his presence day after day, we have an opportunity every time we come together to worship like it's our last chance to worship. We have an opportunity every time we come together to praise like it's our last opportunity to praise. We have an opportunity every time we come to pray like it's our last opportunity to pray. And I want to make sure I do it with everything inside of me. Brokenness is not a Christian cuss word. Amen. Amen. Can we pray? Father, tonight in this place, Father, keep us in that place of being broken. Father, I ask that you would always bring us to our knees in honor and adoration and submission to you. Father, that we would always lift up holy hands to you and shout praises to you and glorify you and magnify you and worship you because you are truly worthy of it all. Father, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. So tonight in this place, I ask that you would just continue to keep us in that place of being broken before you. Father, make us broken vessels that you would flow out of. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that we would always be that broken vessel, that there would always be an aroma that would come out of this place and out of the people in this place, Father, that would be pleasing in your sight, Lord. That aroma would come up around you and you would desire to be with us because we desire to be with you. Father, we long for intimacy with you. Holy Spirit, we love you and we adore you. Father, I pray that as in closing, that you would just go with every person that is here tonight. Father, that your hand of protection, that your hand of provision, that you would bless every single person in this place, Father, as they go throughout their week, that they would have a great week, that you would just commune with them every single day, and that you would constantly just bring us closer to you. Father, we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory for what you are doing here at Oceans. We love you and appreciate you so much. In Jesus' mighty and precious name, and all God's people said, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.